All right, welcome everybody to another episode of It's Okay to Feel. We have a wonderful guest, Janine Bernstein here. Janine Bernstein is an author. She is she works with NAMI Westside, so she's a great friend of NAMI. So we're excited to have her. And welcome, Janine.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking a little bit about your book, a little bit about kind of your story and how you got connected to NAMI.
Okay.
But first, why don't you just give us a little introduction to yourself?
Sure. So I'm actually a member of NAMI Westside LA, and I'll back way up. I became a mental health advocate. Really, it was inspired after the loss of a childhood friend in the end of 2010. I was devastated, and I took a year off from doing a radio show at KUCI, the local station here at UC Irvine. And I was a DJ, and I thought, you know, I really want to come back. I want to do something meaningful. And I started a talk show called Get the Funk Out that I still do, because I was in a massive funk. And I thought, I really want to talk to people. I want to hear their stories. I want them to feel comfortable sharing. And I think this will be a really good growing and healing experience for me. And it has, and I'm still doing the show since 2011. It's been incredible when you throw yourself into something very purpose-driven. And then I wrote a book called Get the Funk Out, Bleep Happens, What to Do Next, based on these stories. And in the pandemic, through many different conversations with people, especially Gen Z, whose lives had completely changed. I mean, that's an understatement. I decided I had an idea for a book called Better Humans, What the Mental Health Pandemic Teaches Us About Humanity. And Erin Raftery Ryan, the executive director of NAMI Westside, wrote the foreword. It's a lovely foreword. She did a great job.
Yeah. Well, and that's really special that, you know, in a sense that, and you kind of talk about this in the book, that even through the tragedy, even through things that are tragic, there are things that kind of like bring out common values in our society.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That bring out kind of like the things that like maybe redirect us.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that and how that kind of works into your book, about how it needed to, you know, a lot of what happened during the pandemic really brought those things out?
Sure. Well, the pandemic was, to me, a wake-up call that, as many people have said, there's so much research on this, we were already in a mental health crisis prior to COVID. And COVID exacerbated this pre-existing mental health crisis, and it shined a light on the fact that our systems are failing us. Our mental health care system, so many systems. I even think our higher education system, with all the parameters of a student who is a 4.6 and AP tests does not get in after all those sacrifices, that the bar is set that high, that those are the standards, that contributes to a mental health crisis right there. So there are so many issues. There are so many inequities in our society. That is an understatement. People who can't afford healthcare don't have access to healthcare. You know, it's just basically it took a pandemic to wake us up to how many things need fixing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you talk every, it seems like every chapter you have a quote from a young person.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about this generation or with young people that really directed you or inspired you to connect with them about this topic?
Sure. That's a great question, because what happened was a lot of people, I would say Gen Z, but mostly college age, because Gen Zs can be 9 on up, they would reach out to me on LinkedIn and they would say, would you by any chance have time to talk? I lost my internship. I lost my job. I'm living at home. And I wouldn't say no to anyone. There weren't a lot of people, but when they did, I would meet with them. And it would turn into an hour conversation, and it would be kind of brainstorming and, you know, okay, well, you don't have that internship, but have you thought about reaching out to your alumni association at your high school or your college or whatever? So I realized just how much this generation was suffering. And, you know, for me, I also have daughters, and I really can't say, well, you'll be fine, or back in my day, because it's not. That's not even relatable. The amount of stress that this generation is under is unbelievable. And it really woke me up talking to a lot of people who are college age, and the feeling of hopelessness, of missed milestones, of all these things that you and I got to experience that they don't. Mm. And then the lack of social connection. So it became really apparent that everything I do would focus on that, whether it was the different initiatives, whether it's the work I do in a business I created called Outside the Box, the activities I do, how I need to foster specific things to help this generation, because I believe we all can contribute to some solutions right now. It's not just waiting for some higher up to do it. I think we can all create solutions to help this generation specifically. And lastly, I will say this. What's so great about this generation is that they're not afraid to say, I'm in therapy. I'm taking a mental health day. I need to do this for my mental health. Whereas if I were to say to my dad years ago, I'm taking a mental health day, he'd say, don't you dare tell your boss that. I mean, because that was not something that was acceptable. You don't show something that my father would probably think, or other people would think, you're showing your vulnerability, right? Mm. But a lot of people in this generation, they're role models. They're role models for change, for acceptance, for ending the stigma. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. Ending the stigma. What are some initiatives? What are some things that you have seen that kind of give you a optimistic outlook or inspire you?
Well, one of the things I started doing, and I just started Outside the Box really in the pandemic, and I have student interns at UC Irvine that work with me, but we do different initiatives. And one is, sometimes I get flowers donated, other times I just go out and buy them. And shout out to Trader Joe's and Albertsons and OC Wholesale Flowers and everyone else. So we hand out flowers. And a lot of times students will say, well, do I have to buy this? No, we're giving you a gift. And sometimes we ask them to write on our boards and they answer the question, how are you really? And the answers are really telling, okay? And it's like you're taking the temperature of the room. And we switch up our questions. How do you deal with stress? What do you do to take care of your mental health? I went to a NAMI OC event that Chris, who previously was with NAMI, put on. It was an amazing event. Silent disco.
Oh, yeah.
Silent disco. I had a table there.
That's
so
fun.
Much fun. Yeah. And our tables are really colorful with different stress toys and stickers and journals, et cetera, et cetera. And so we do things to engage, and it's not about the flower. It's about connecting and lifting someone up. And I realize there are four really important things that we should focus on: kindness, empathy, compassion, and connection. Because one of the big things is the feeling of lack of connection, lack of friendship. And I've heard this for years now, especially students being back in person, like, I don't have a lot of friends. It's always been hard for me to make friends. And then being back in person, I'm just in a sea of people. And it's hard, especially if you're an introvert, you know, and I was always an introvert, and I would feel probably similar feelings. So any activity we do is based on those four things. Sometimes it's going to be art activities and things that Gen Z used to play with when they were younger. And we're doing speed friending to solve the connection issue, to introduce new faces. And I have to say, these events have been so eye-opening and uplifting. It's so rewarding. Mm.
And have you learned or seen, now that we're kind of like out of the pandemic, maybe some things that Gen Z or the young people have Is there a more sense of resilience that they have? Are they still working through a lot of these issues? What are you seeing now post pandemic?
I would say a lot of people in the Gen Z demographic, some are talking about how they're in therapy. Some talk about how they're very aware about social media and how they just have found themselves, especially in the pandemic, you know, scrolling and scrolling. I mean, you think about it, when we had to be inside, you're not outside with people, you're not getting maybe vitamin D, you're not doing all these things you would normally do, you're not connecting, you're on your screen, because what else are you going to do? And but I went to the UCLA Semmel Institute's Gen Z Wellness Summit, Edward. It was fantastic. And the link, I don't know if I shared it with you, but the link is still up and all the videos are up. And it basically had, you know, they had these small panels. Lily Reinhart was there, the actress Lily Reinhart, as well as other actors, athletes, singers, songwriters, poets. And they were sharing common themes of, with, like I said, social media, connection, being comfortable sharing that you're struggling with your mental health or a mental illness, that you're in treatment. It was like over 600 people with a boost of optimism and connection. And I felt like we need more of this. Like, I can't wait for the next one, because it was so important to attend, to see what this generation is going through, their experiences, whether you're an influencer, you know, people think, oh, they're, as I would say, like, don't judge a book by its cover, because you see happy people doesn't mean they're not going through something. So basically, to answer your question, that was a very long answer, is that they are very self-aware. They probably always were, but more so in the pandemic. And, you know, they're talking about their future, right? So we have all these societal issues. We need to help create a future where they're going to thrive. And in a society focused on grades and not talking about mental health, that is so not healthy, because you don't want to be an adult saying, wow, I never dealt with X, Y, and Z. And here I am as an adult. I've got the dream job and all these accolades and titles, but boy, am I miserable. So I would say they're really role models for peeling back your layers now and figuring out what's meaningful, what matters, how to be engaged in social activism for the future. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of it is they're building what their future is going to look like.
Yeah.
It's up to us. Yeah. Which is great. And, mm-hmm. and also it's up to us to help build that out with them, help create spaces that they feel welcomed, and they feel because again, they're the ones that, you know, we don't really know a lot of the effects of the pandemic. We're just kind of finding out a lot of like those things that have been affecting them, and how bad or how good or how really, you know, a lot of negative things happened because of the shutdowns and all that. So what every day when you wake up and you working with young people, what are the things that kind of inspire you and encourage you?
I love when they're open with me. I love when I have a one-on-one phone call, or I get a text or an email from someone who is an intern, and they're personally moved by what we're doing. Because I always tell them, again, it's not about the flowers. It's not about just this one specific thing. Let's dive deep. Let's unpack what we just did. And what did you notice? And so we kind of analyze what happened. What was the reaction? I've had students who receive those flowers and they cry. They cry because they'll say, I'm really going through something right now, and this is just the perfect timing. This is exactly what I need. And it's not that the school doesn't have resources. They have fantastic resources, but a lot of times students just want to go to their peers, right? They are using the campus resources, but you know, I would probably do the same thing. I'd want to just go talk to a friend. But what if you don't have friends? What if you are too shy or you don't see clubs? Or so that's why we build these Friday fun day experiences for a couple hours, where the first time we did it, I got a bunch of canvas bags. We brought paints and we set them up, and I think now we have birdhouses, and we have people painting. And what's so interesting too, is I said, this is an experiment into getting people to get up and talk to someone, because if I put four bottles of paint at a table and someone says, oh, we don't have orange, and they'll come to me and I'll say, go maybe connect with another table. You could introduce yourself if you want and ask them if they have orange. And so at the end, they're really all communicating and having a good time, because it becomes one big group, even though they're at separate tables. And then the speed friending are three specific questions on cards, and we give them 4 minutes. And last week we did it while they were doing the crafts. So there was this comfort level while they're painting and it's relaxing. And after the 4 minutes, it became 20 minutes or longer. They did not get up. They did not switch. They talked about going out and getting food together. You know, they talked about other things. They said, we don't need your cards. And they just need this opportunity to know that college is more than academics. And yes, I know they are told, you got to get good grades, you got to do that. But I don't know about you, but some of my best experiences at college were not about academics. It was nonlinear, right? Yeah. Experiences that make you who you are. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're creating experiences where they could potentially meet a friend that's long lasting, meet somebody new. It's, yeah. And the interns that you get, are they some, how do you attract them?
So I'm a partner, community partner with the field study program. And I originally gave a couple of talks to students through UCI. And I was asked if I wanted to be a community partner, filled out paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. I was approved. The best experience. I do some tabling from time to time. It's just opened up more conversations. It's opened up more meaning in my life, more purpose in my life. It led to the book that you were talking about, Better Humans. I learn so much from the students that I interviewed in the book and their insights, their perspectives, how there's so much apathy, how people, you know, we're comfortable. We don't want to talk about things that are uncomfortable. And it's funny, my book came out and I was approaching certain bookstores, they would say, oh, we're not doing that now. Or, oh, your book came out, you know, 2 months earlier, we're doing something else now. And I'm thinking, there's no time limit on talking about mental health. There should never be. It's not like the flavor of the month and thanks, we're on to something else. But unfortunately, that's the way it is, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so on that topic of when you are, you know, because I remember we were talking about your book and how you wanted to, you're not really into like going out and promoting it on your own. You want to make events. You want to do, can you talk a little bit about that and how you kind of promoted? I think recently you did an event with the NAMI San Gabriel Valley.
I did. It was great. So I decided, because of the pandemic affected so much. Like, people don't really come out to events as much. I've had bookstores tell me this. And I've done book talks. The most recent were in Northern California. And they're great. But for long term, it made more sense to me to create meaningful events such as workshops and panels and engaging activities, because I never wanted to be just a talking head talking about my book. Even when I did book talks, it would be me in conversation with someone like Erin Raftery Ryan from NAMI. She moderated my book talk. We were in conversation. It was fantastic. But when I put together this event 2 weeks ago, it's a mix of different things. So it's an opening activity with the board and asking people when they come in to respond to a question like, how are you really? It's doing a de-stress activity. I bring in these squishy balls with funny faces and I ask them three questions. And I say, only if you feel comfortable, you can answer, raise your hand. And I have numerous lived experiences with either a family member who struggled with her mental health, my mom, or people I know, and I have struggled myself. And I am very transparent in my presentations. I started seeing a therapist in the pandemic. I used to say, I'm fine, everything's good, I'm fine. And I realized it wasn't. And that's what happened to a lot of people. You start peeling back your layers and sitting in your stuff, basically, in the pandemic. And you realize, you know what? I don't think I am okay. And it's okay to not be okay. And so along the way, I want to mention I became part of Mental Health Action Day. I'm also a partner with that. MTV started it. And I got on board several years ago. And we're doing, I think I'm going to be doing stuff with NAMI, OC. We're going to do a panel, a couple panels around May 16th. But I share all this because I realize that when I do these meaningful activities, these panels, fun activities, thought-provoking, it gets people talking and they do connect with one another in the room, even if they don't know one another. So that's the way I have begun to get the message out about how to become a better human to yourself and to other people and to build empathy and kindness.
Yeah. Well, so what is it about NAMI that attracted you?
So I had heard about various events and I was on the website. I saw the different resources, and having grown up and struggled, I was thinking, I really wish I had had something like this growing up. I wish I had known about NAMI when I lost my friend. And then in writing the book, when I approached Aaron, because Aaron was actually a guest on my show, I believe it was my KUCI show. And then I stayed in touch with her. Her and her husband were on my show. And everything just kind of came together, all the pieces. I thought, I'm going to ask her if she'd like to, you know, write the foreword of the book. And it, what she wrote was fantastic. That's an understatement. It was great. And it just made sense for me. And I want to be more and more involved and learn from NAMI and collaborate, because the event we did 2 weeks ago was called Making Better Humans. I had two people on the panel that were from NAMI San Gabriel Valley. And they were, and then two other people from Westside LA. And they were phenomenal. And then I had someone from my book, Alan Datcher. He was phenomenal. He used to be part of the LA Youth Commission. He was the executive director. And we did this panel. It was fantastic. And then we talked about, we also had scenarios of different situations. And we just had a lot of engagement. And it was great.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think there's a lot of, it's amazing how many people have been moved and touched, and you can actually hear a lot of times because they've taken a class or they've done something, a program with NAMI, that their families are better, or mm-hmm. their mental health is better because they've taken the peer-to-peer class because they have a diagnosis themselves. That's something that's very unique.
I think
to be a part of it, to be a volunteer in it. I know, even in the beginning of your forward, I believe that was the conversation was about a phone call and how that phone call was going to be maybe a difficult one to have because it was going to be somebody that they needed to support. Mm-hmm. Have you done those phone calls? Have you done those support calls?
That was Aaron writing that in the forward. Yeah.
Okay.
I have not. I actually want to go through the training from NAMI. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So that made sense about when I was listening to the forum, to the forward.
Mm-hmm.
That because that happens a lot. We get those calls and yes. Those people that are in need and crisis.
Yes.
And so, but it's great to have people like you to help support a lot of what we do and
thank you.
The work that you do. So we really, really appreciate it.
Well, yeah. it's so important to spread the word because not everybody knows about specific resources. In the back of my book, I share a bunch of resources. Even on my website, otbseries.com, I share resources because I don't want people to feel alone. You know, there are times when, yes, they cannot talk to a parent. Maybe they don't have friends they feel like can open up to. It's great to spread the word about NAMI, the important work you're doing, especially peer-to-peer, you know, whether they're in middle school, high school, college. It's so, so important to share the message. Yeah.
Yeah. And also NAMI OC has a program specifically for the transitional age youth, which is 16 to 24.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying our best. We're not always known for young people to do something for young people. So it's good that we're trying to develop that over here in Orange County. But as we kind of wrap up, could you give us, you know, maybe a little, what gives you again encouragement? Is there something that you want to leave us a word before we kind of wrap up our conversation here?
I would say to get involved in purpose-driven initiatives. And let me describe that because that's really how I built my life and what I instill in other people. You could be going through a really hard time. For example, when I lost my friend, I was in a really dark place. I was just so devastated and it still hurts. You know, grief is a personal journey. No one can tell you, okay, you know, you've mourned enough, time to move on. It doesn't work like that. Does not work like that. And when you get involved in something meaningful and purpose-driven, it gives you reason to get up and get out. And maybe you're helping someone else. And I think you and I talked about this. I really believe in inspiring people of all ages, especially Gen Z, to create the most non-linear life possible, contrary to what anyone tells you, because your life really shouldn't be based on someone else's expectations. You should follow what interests you. You should connect different dots and don't think that those connections don't mean anything down the road. And I can give you an example. Like when I was younger, my mom said, "You're going to be a candy striper in a hospital." And I thought, "What is that? What is that? Do you know what that is?" Candy striper. No. Okay, we're not striping candy. So I wore this silly outfit. It was like red and white striped outfit, why they call it candy striper. And I used to deliver flowers to patients of all ages. Sometimes it was kids in the cancer ward. Other times they would let me answer the phones at the front desk. All this foundation, being 14, was unbelievable. Years later, I end up in Boston and I'm thinking, I really want an internship. So I reach out to Tufts Medical Center and I get an internship in their media department because I also worked at a hospital in the media department in college because an advisor set it up. My point is, try different things because this creates your layers in life, right? And your whole openness and your resilience. So years later, someone might ask you something and you'll think back, oh, I know how to do that. Or that's really interesting because I did that when I was in high school or college. And I would just say try a lot of different things, because again, it's not just about academics. It's not about listening to someone else's expectations. It's about following what you believe and who you are and growing and figuring out who you are.
Yeah, that's great. And isn't it funny that you were 14 delivering flowers, and one of your main exercises is giving flowers to young people.
Mm-hmm.
How important that is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's the best way that people can get in touch with you, find out about your organization and what you're doing in your book?
Sure. Thank you for that. So they can go to my website, otbseries.com, which is outside the box, otbseries.com. I also have my other website, which is JaneneBernstein.com, which no one will be able to spell unless you have it somewhere, but it's JaneneBernstein.com. And they can send me an email at info@otbseries.com. And we're on socials at otbseries.
Great. Well, thank you, Janine. And we're going to see a lot more of you, I think, in the coming months with our NAMI Talks events and other things you'll be doing with the Tay department. So we thank you for your time and
thank
sharing
you.
About better humans.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, everybody.